Hello, everybody. With Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online, so if there's something you'd like to talk about or a Bible question we can answer, we invite your call right now to 844-322-2742. Same number in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. The lines are wide open right now. We want to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel. Now, here's Richard Piper.
Thanks, Bob. Well, all this month, we've been studying the idea of freedom. And we've spent a lot of time talking about freedom from things. And we've been spending some time in freedom to things. And this week, I wanted to start these first 3 days with kind of an introduction summary of all of this. Yesterday we talked about what we had been freed from, and it was much more than just sin in the way we normally think about it. It's actually we've been freed from the slavery that we were held in because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We looked at that in the context of the first half of Romans 6. Today we want to look at the other side of this, what we're freed to do. And this might be a little confusing, so I'm going to read the passage again. It's the second half of Romans 6, but try to keep this in context. What is true freedom? And what does it mean to be free to do something? What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? Well, by no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one you obey? Whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that, though you used to be slaves to sin, you have come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. I'm using an example from everyday life because of your human limitations. Just as you used to offer yourselves as slaves to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer yourselves as slaves to righteousness leading to holiness. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So the word freedom or free was used 3 times there. 2 of those times are the same word, and it means to be set free from the power and punishment of sin. So he carries this idea of slavery through. In the old days, before Jesus, before you were saved, before you became a child of God, Jesus needed to save you out of the slavery of sin.
Yeah.
But what did he save you to? He didn't save you to independence. If you recall, independence was the key issue back in the Garden of Eden. No, you don't want to be dependent upon God for your life. You want to be independent. You want to be God yourself. And Adam and Eve fell for that lie. Well, Paul is explicit. You were set free from the slavery of sin so that you could be a slave of Jesus Christ. That's what you are free to become. Free to become a slave of Jesus. And I used to scratch my head over this. There were so many times I argued with God saying, I am no one's slave. Absolutely no one. I want to be free of this sin stuff, but I want to be independent. I want to be able to walk the fence on my own. And it, you know, I kept falling off the fence and having to climb back on. And finally it dawned on me that there is only one choice. You can be a slave of sin, or you can be a slave of Jesus Christ. And when I accepted slavery to Jesus Christ, as weird as that sounds, that's when I discovered true freedom. So if you're wondering what you've been saved from, it's from sin and its results and the slavery and the death that means. And now you've been set free to become the slave of Jesus Christ. Do that. You'll be amazed at what happens.
Absolutely. Great topic, freedom. Richard, crystallize a question that we could pose to our listeners to see if someone would like to share about the freedom that they've experienced. What would that question be?
What how has your life changed since you became free from sin and a slave to Jesus Christ? What did that mean for you? And it's not going to be an easy answer. Like, you know, well, like we talked about it yesterday, I quit smoking. Mm-hmm. Well, you may have, and congratulations. But did you do that in the power of the Holy Spirit, or did you just gut it out and figure it out?
Yeah.
Being a slave of Christ, it is a strange idea. Think about that and let us know, what does it mean to you to have become a slave of Jesus Christ?
What does it mean to you to become a slave of Jesus Christ? We encourage your phone call right now, friends, to 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada. The lines are wide open. We await your call, 844-322-2742. As we await those calls, let's address a question from Jerome, who left a message by voicemail overnight.
Hello, my name is Jerome, and I listen to you guys out of Waco, Texas. Here's a question. I'm just trying to get you guys' take. It's in reference to grieving the Holy Spirit. You know, I hear many people say that, you know, the Holy Spirit's grieved when we sin or we continue to sin. Well, we all sin and we all continue to sin. So is the Holy Spirit in a constant state of grievance? That doesn't fit right with the message of grace, knowing that our sins have been forgiven for now, past and future. And I know that even our future sins, there's no such thing as a future sin. We have been completely cleansed. So I'm a little perplexed at how the Holy Spirit would be grieved, because it seems in the state that we are in the flesh, in the state that we sin, he would be constantly grieved. And so what's your guys' take on that? Thank you very much.
Yeah.
God bless.
Thank you, Jerome, for calling in. By the way, you can do that yourself if you'd like. Bob, can you tell them how to get there?
I don't have that information. I'm
okay.
Going to depend on you to do that.
Okay. On our website, if you go to the radio portion of that, there's a place to submit a question, and you can record your own question and leave it for us right there, and we can pick it up. So, grieving the Holy Spirit. Let me read you what used to be one of my least favorite verses in the Bible, and I'll try to read it to you the way it was always read to me. This is in Ephesians 4:30. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. And then we would all begin to tremble in our seats. They usually broke this out for the sixth graders, you know, and kids who are completely clueless as to most of life, and yet they knew that, you know, facing an angry God. Well, this brings up one of my favorite topics, and that is taking Bible passages out of context. And if you look at Ephesians 4, the context of Ephesians 4 is that God has gifted his church with several gifts, and the intent of those gifts is to strengthen the body of Christ and to make us all ministers of the gospel of grace. And in the context of being a minister of the gospel of grace and of Jesus Christ, Paul lays out some desirable traits, things like we will stop stealing from one another in the Spirit, right? Because remember, people who came to Christ in the first century, just like today, came to Jesus, warts and all. So you might have a former temple prostitute, you might have a slave, you might have the slave's owner, you might have a thief, you could have anyone who heard the message of Jesus and responded and were saved. Mm-hmm. Well, now what? And Paul lays it out here. And when he puts this verse in, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, he's doing it in the context of a couple of things. One is unwholesome talk. Rather than being unwholesome, say what is helpful to people. Notice that we're building up the body of Christ. Paul makes it very clear throughout his letters that Jesus is very jealous for the body of Christ. This is his temple now, right? Because the Holy Spirit lives in us. So don't be mean to each other. Build each other up. Get rid of bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander with every kind of form of malice. And then the kicker. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. So if I am holding on to bitterness, that means I'm not forgiving someone. Well, Jesus forgave me. God wasn't bitter with me. What am I going to do with that? Right. Am I going to let him bring this out to me and bring it through my life as the Holy Spirit changes my mind and teaches me how to think new thoughts or not. Well, if I allow the Spirit to do that, that's terrific. If I don't allow the Spirit to do that, the Spirit's going to say, Richard, I'm here. I'm living inside of you. Yeah. I'm not leaving. What can we do to improve your thinking so that you can let go of this bitterness? Because it's not hurting the other person. It's hurting you.
Yeah.
The bitterness is eating you alive, and I know about bitterness because I spent a lot of years bitter. So when you think of grieving the Spirit, don't think of grieving the Spirit as I'm going to make him so angry that he's going to leave me, because he's never going to leave you or forsake you.
Right.
What he is doing is trying to bring you along slowly but surely and finish the work that he started. The other favorite passage is in Matthew 12, where the Pharisees accused Jesus of casting out demons by the prince of demons, and Jesus lets them have it. Now, if I'm casting out demons by the prince of demons, well, how about your people who cast out demons? So apparently there were people who were of the Pharisees, the Jewish leadership, who actually had cast out demons. Praise God. Well, they're accusing Jesus of doing it by Satan himself, and he says, no, no, no.
That's bad.
So if you are going to slander the Holy Spirit who is doing this work, you are in a serious danger.
Absolutely.
Okay? A child of God does not slander the Spirit by saying, well, whatever happened, it was because of Satan did it. No. The power of God is overwhelmingly positive, and when we allow him to be God in us, like he designed us to be, amazing things can happen. And it's his call, and it's his power, and he asks us to participate in this. What a blessing.
Yeah.
Don't deny that the Spirit is working, but while the Spirit is working, listen, learn, let him be the Holy Spirit, let him change your life.
Jerome, thank you for your call, and thank you for your question. A very interesting topic it is. Plenty of open lines, friends, 844-322-2742. Go to the U.S. and in Canada. The lines are wide open right now. Again, 844-322-2742. Friends, you know, at Basic Gospel, we have many calls from people who are really going through the dregs of life. Basic Gospel, of course, is different from most other Christian radio programs because we can reach out in real time at the exact moment when somebody needs assurance, needs to hear about the love and grace of the Lord Jesus. And as partners with us in this gospel, we ask you to help today with a generous gift to keep Basic Gospel live, on the air, and online. And Richard, I know that you agree that not only is it vital for us to be here live every day, but it's a privilege for us, for you and me, and for Greg and Michelle and Billy and Stephen and Kim and Coleman, Bob, all of us here
Everybody.
At Basic Gospel,
yes.
The entire staff, just a privilege for us to be a part of this.
It is. And I've got to tell you, I was helped by Basic Gospel back in the day as our forerunner organization. I was out there. I knew that grace was real. I knew that forgiveness was real, but I was just at loose ends because I'd been so tied up in the church I was raised in. And this ministry helped me realize one very important thing. I wasn't crazy. I thought
That's a good
I was,
realization.
I thought I was crazy believing this stuff because I didn't know anybody else who did.
Yeah.
And so I, of course, was suffering from the Elijah complex and, you know, it's only
sure.
me, Lord.
Right.
And, you know, the Spirit was saying, no, it's not. There's lots and lots of people here. Let me introduce you to some. And I met these people. And this is real stuff. It changes lives. It changed my life. Mm-hmm. And I know many, many other people whose lives this message has changed. It's not us. It's the message of Jesus Christ. And you get to participate with that. You get to impact other people's lives for eternity with your giving. It's just as simple as that.
Absolutely. And with your gift today, of course, you're going to receive Bob Christopher's new message of Freedom Fighters. That's for a gift of $20 or more. And, of course, that CD shows how to live in and live out the freedom that's yours in Jesus Christ. A wonderful message. We hope you'll take advantage of the opportunity to get that CD and, at the same time, bless others through this ministry that we call Basic Gospel. Just click donate at basicgospel.net. basicgospel.net, or call and speak with our operator, Billy, at 844-412-2742. Again, that number available right now, 844-412-2742. Good friend Teresa in Wantagh, New York. Richard has a question. She says, what do you say to someone who says the Bible has never moved me? Can anyone truly grow in Christ apart from the Word? She says, I have a friend who says, I'd rather experience God personally than rather rather than through some book. What's more personal than the Word became flesh and dwelt among us? I can think of nothing greater to renew my mind as I grow in the knowledge of my Savior. Can you please speak about this? That's from Teresa in Wontaw, New York.
Well, this is a good one. Thanks for asking that, Teresa. So many of us have approached the Bible, the Word of God, as some kind of a book that you have to memorize, that you have to know good theology, that you there's just all these long lists of things to do, and you get stuck back in Leviticus or in Numbers, and it's terminally boring. And it, you know, if that's what you think of the Bible, I can understand why you wouldn't want to read it. And so don't start in Leviticus and Numbers. Start with the New Testament. I'd suggest the Gospel of John or Romans, or pick one. I mean, they're just amazing stories. The problem with someone who says, I'd rather experience God personally, is that they have limited their experience of God to an emotional, experience-based, happening relationship. Right? If I have a good happening with Jesus, I will be happy. If I don't have a good happening with Jesus, I won't be happy. That is a very selfish way to approach God. He asks for all of us. He doesn't ask for part of us. He doesn't ask just for the experiences we have. He wants every bit of us. And the Bible is his word. Hebrews starts off with, you know, in the past, he spoke to us in many ways by the prophets and in the history. And the writer's talking about the Old Testament. And as exciting as those writings are, they were pointing forward to someone, and that someone is Jesus. And now that Jesus is here, he is the revelation of God. And the whole Bible, Old and New Testaments, point to Jesus, explain Jesus, allow Jesus to explain himself, and literally are the power of God. So I would suggest that anyone who is having trouble reading the Bible start with something a little more straightforward like John or Matthew. Take it a little bit at a time. Before you start reading, say, Lord God, every time I've picked up this book in the past, it was so boring I wanted to cry. Help me with that. And the Spirit says, there's a request I can work with. And he will begin to bring these things alive. And you know, don't expect, you know, the clouds to part and to see Jesus sitting on the throne in the first moment, unless that's what the Spirit gives you. Take it slow. Take it easy. Let the Spirit warm you to what this message is about. It's a different kind of reading than anything you've ever done.
Yeah.
It's not a Robert Ludlum novel, although there are parts of it that are as exciting as anything Ludlum ever wrote. It's not a science book, though parts of it are as exciting as any science you've ever read. It's not a theology book, although some of the most impressive, most important theology ever written is in the Bible. Don't try to grab it all at once. Grab it a little bit at a time. Let the Holy Spirit explain it to you. Start to tie the different parts together, and I think you'll find your attitude change. But whatever you do, don't use your emotions as the judge of truth. Emotions can be fooled.
Yeah.
And they can be fooled even for children of God. So take the Bible for what it is, God's word to us, as an explanation of Jesus Christ, and let the power of God change you.
Yeah. Teresa, thank you so much for your question. And hey, by the way, keep those Facebook posts coming. 844-322-2742. 844-322-2742. We have some time on the clock. We want to hear from you.
Are you ready for the trip of a lifetime? February 7th through the 18th are the dates for our visit to Israel. And we have arranged for you a visit that you'll never forget. Imagine the panorama of biblical history, places you've heard about and stories you've read all your Christian life coming alive before your eyes. The Jezreel Valley, site of the future Battle of Armageddon. The Sea of Galilee, where Jesus gathers the disciples. The Mount of Beatitudes. The Jordan River, where John was baptizing. Caesarea Philippi, where Jesus asked, "Who do the people say that I am?" And, "Who do you say that I am?" the Dead Sea and Qumran, discovery site of the Dead Sea Scrolls, Bethlehem, the birthplace of Jesus, the shepherd's fields where the Messiah's birth was heralded by angels, and the city of our redemption, Jerusalem itself, the Temple Mount and the Western or Wailing Wall, the Mount of Olives and the Garden of Gethsemane. You'll walk the Via Dolorosa to Golgotha, the place of the crucifixion, and you'll visit the empty garden tomb. So much to see, so much to experience. Israel with Basic Gospel, this February. Are you ready for the trip of a lifetime? The registration deadline is August 1st. Click events at basicgospel.net for all the information. Again, that's events at basicgospel.net.
Less than a week now remaining before the deadline that is the deadline for registration for the trip. And wow, what a trip it's going to be. I hope you will take advantage of this opportunity. Don't miss this trip, friends. Again, 844-322-2742. Time on the clock. We want to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel. Richard, a question from Eulalie, and she says, please explain Luke 16, 1 through 14, with focus on verses 8 and 9. And I'll read that for you. It says, the master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than they are the people of light. I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourself, so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings.
This is a fascinating story, parable. As usual, Jesus and the Pharisees are going at it. The Pharisees are constantly trying to trip him up. The way that Luke put it at the end of this passage, the Pharisees who loved money heard all of this and were sneering at Jesus. There's the key. He was talking to the Pharisees. They were completely tied up in money, and so he uses an example of someone who had defrauded his boss of thousands of dollars worth of goods and services, and the boss has figured this out, and so Jesus says this guy goes out and finds all these other people and says, here, give me pennies on the dollar, so that we can pay back some of it. It won't be a total loss. And the master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. That's the way of the world. That was the way of the Pharisees. There's the connection. That's not the way we're supposed to run. That's the way of the Pharisees. And so what he's talking about is, look, if that's the way you're going to play it, do the best you can with your money. Make as many friends as you can, because when it's all gone, now we're talking about eternal things.
Yeah.
Hopefully it'll be gone sooner than later so that we can get on to what's real. And so he talks about being trustworthy. Being trustworthy means nothing more than putting everything you have into the hands of Jesus. Remember how we started this conversation. Your choice is to become a slave of sin or to become free as a slave of Jesus Christ. If you take it to Jesus, and he will show you how to manage your time, manage your money, manage resources, manage people, you name it. The Holy Spirit in you can teach you how to do that stuff, and everyone will be blessed as a result. That's the point of this parable.
Well, we appreciate hearing from all of our listeners, Richard, of course, who drop us an email to pose questions. And if you can't get to the phone while we're actually on the air live, why, drop us an email at bob@basicgospel.net. Again, bob@basicgospel.net. We'll be glad to address your question on a later edition of the broadcast. And, of course, if you would like to leave a message like Jerome did, why, we encourage you to go online to basicgospel.net, and you'll find that link there where you can do that as well. Well, remember, friends, that as partners with us in this gospel message, your gifts make it possible for Basic Gospel to continue to proclaim Jesus to those who need to hear. We ask you to help today with a generous gift to keep Basic Gospel live, on the air, and online. And with your gift of $20 or more, you're going to receive a copy of Bob Christopher's new message, Freedom Fighters, showing how to live in and live out the freedom that is yours in Christ Jesus. Click donate at basicgospel.net or phone your gift to Basic Gospel at 844-412-2742. Again, that's basicgospel.net or phone your gift to 844 and speak with Billy at 844-412-2742. Well, again, thanks for being with us today, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper and the ministry team, Bob Davis inviting you to be with us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.